This is a podcast from Consilio. We bring people together to create better places.
Hello and welcome to Better Places. In today's episode, we go straight to our interview with Councillor Helen Dennis, the Cabinet Member for New Homes and Sustainable Development in the London Borough of Southwark.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Better Places podcast produced by Consilio Communications. We have a very special guest today, Councillor Helen Dennis from Southwark Council. Helen, welcome.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to tell us a bit about your brief and about how you came to be involved in the podcast?
Yes, of course, and it's a real pleasure to be here. So I'm currently Southwark's Cabinet Member for New Homes and Sustainable Development. I tend to have to explain that to people. So what that really means is that I'm responsible for our Council Housing Direct Delivery Programme. I also have responsibility for homelessness, and I also have responsibility for planning and regeneration across the borough. And it's in its entirety, it's a brief that I held since May this year, although I've held responsibility for planning and regeneration matters for some time longer than that as well.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. So I think we'll go straight into it in relation to the role. So what are the key challenges and opportunities that you found in your 4 months in the role? As you say, you previously served as Cabinet Member for Climate, Emergency and Sustainable Development. So not too dissimilar, but obviously this is a much more housing focus and planning focus. So what are the key challenges and opportunities that you found in the last 4 months?
Yeah, it's obviously a very challenging time, I think, for developments across London, indeed across the country. As you said, I did have responsibility for planning and regeneration matters beforehand, but bringing it together with our Council Housing Direct Delivery Programme, I think, is a smart thing to do. And it gives me, obviously, an insight into the viability challenges that we have ourselves as a council, that others who are coming to us with their own proposals are also experiencing at the moment. One of the first things that I had to do when I took on the planning and regeneration role a couple of years ago was just to kind of nurse through the final stages of our local plan, the Southwark plan, through to adoption. And so I think we are in a good place because that is now a very well established local plan. And I think it provides the certainty, the clarity that people need when they come to look at Southwark and think, what is it that we're prioritising? What is it that we're expecting of people? But obviously, that's not the be all or end all. And we've got specific conversations that we are trying to take forward at the moment on a whole range of sites, on a whole range of issues. On housing specifically, we have a really strong track record, I think, in Southwark, both in terms of delivering council housing ourselves. So in 21-22, we built, or started at least, a third of all council homes in England, which is incredible. And one of the best bits of my job at the moment is going to all of the topping out ceremonies, going and meeting residents when they're moving into their new homes, and really seeing the life-changing difference that having a home can make. And it's obviously foundational to everything else we're trying to do as a local authority. But I think we're also doing really well in terms of delivering housing in general and homes at social rent in particular, including across the Old Kent Road opportunity area, where we've got at least 50% of what's being built on site at the moment affordable at the moment, which is, again, very exciting in terms of delivery. But the challenges, as you alluded to, are significant at the moment, and delivery is not easy. I suppose in particular, we've got a number of really key sites across the borough that we are in a lot of conversation around, where there's a lot of excitement, but some of these are still awaiting their kind of planning process. And so obviously we're in a lot of conversation about our own priorities as a borough, and what, in a very difficult context around viability, we're really expecting to see delivered. And I think I'll just say this finally before we move on, but clearly kind of housing has always been kind of top of the priority in Southwark. It is such a kind of key issue for our residents. We have 17,500 people on our housing waiting list. Huge inequalities still across our borough. And I see the planning process as absolutely fundamental to any ambition that we have as a council to reduce inequality, first and foremost, but also delivering on some of our other ambitions around tackling climate change and supporting our local economy through, again, what is quite a challenging time at the moment.
Fantastic. I mean, thank you very much. I think that that tends to be what we experience through a lot of the work that we do in relation to many of the challenges, but also the opportunities facing planning and indeed housing and development being at the top of that list, definitely politically in terms of the issues that you raise regarding poverty alleviation and etc. That brings us on to one of the key themes and debates across London planning at the moment, and that's the varying degrees to which different local planning authorities expect and demand a sustainability-led approach, as seen, for example, through the retrofit first versus demolition debate. I was wondering if you could give an insight to our listeners about how that looks in Southwark and how that approach manifests itself when you come to deliberating regarding the policies and the local plans and so forth that you put out through your role in cabinet.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I see tackling the climate emergency, and it's something that we've declared as a borough, and we have a very strong climate action plan. So is a real shared priority across all departments in Southwark. So evidently, in terms of how that works out within our adopted local plan at the moment, we have pretty stringent targets on operational emissions, which, you know, I think are really kind of pushing the envelope in terms of what can be delivered. And of course, technology is changing all the time. And we see increasingly those no one meeting those targets yet because they are very much stretch targets. But at the same time, you know, we've been really clear about our ambition to be a net zero authority and therefore what we expect of developers coming forward. And of course, you know, we've also got some of the statutory requirements, which I think are positive but need to be resourced around biodiversity net gain as well, which again is exciting in terms of what it offers us as a borough, particularly on brownfield sites and seeing what can really be achieved. But there are obviously decisions and trade-offs that need to be made. I would say quite confidently, you know, that we absolutely do want to take a retrofit first approach where possible. So that's always going to be the first conversation that myself, if I have a briefing with people, that our planning officers have, if a large, you know, a large site, an existing building is being brought forward, because we want to see things reused and repurposed in imaginative ways. And we have got examples of things ranging from, you know, a very small kind of former garage site in my ward, which is now an art studio, through to, you know, the significant scheme at what we call the Biscuit Factory in Bermondsey that's being brought forward at the moment by Greystar, which has, you know, a kind of large retrofit at the centre of that scheme. Also the reusing of Printworks as well in Canada Water. So there's lots of examples of things coming forward where retrofit is possible. But we also know that there are going to be some circumstances where the buildings are just so challenging that we are going to have to consider new builds on those sites. So I think it is, you know, it's on one level, it is striking a balance and it is taking a pragmatic approach to these things. But I am quite clear that our preference is first and foremost for retrofit and certainly reuse of materials and moving forward as we review our local plan, even though it was even just recently adopted. But we've already committed to doing an early review of it from a climate perspective, because we want to ensure that we're not left behind in terms of the best practice, particularly around how we account for embodied carbon and really push forward on that front.
Thank you very much. That's really interesting. I think that one of the other challenges that come into to planning alongside sustainability approach and, of course, the challenges related to the economy and investment and getting, you know, whether it's the council or indeed developers to invest in the area, is heritage consideration. And one of the things that drew, I think, Southwark to the attention of us this week, and to myself in particular, because I live relatively near Southwark, not quite inside, but next door, was the recently announced local list. So 2,400 buildings or equivalent sites being considered to have a huge amount of cultural and character value for the local community. Could you expand a bit more on how that process went about in terms of the consultation, perhaps some examples of some of the sites listed and how that's going to feed in to a lot of the decisions and the planning policies, both locally and at a borough-wide basis, as we move forward?
Yeah, certainly. So we're really excited about the first local list in Southwark. So obviously it is something that a number of other boroughs do already have, and we started work on this some time ago, actually. But it has just been agreed by Cabinet, as you note. And I think it has been really well received, because I think one of the best things about living in Southwark is the heritage value and the diversity of that. But, you know, clearly people in Southwark know, you know, we come to Borough Market with all the history, the globe, and then we also have the kind of industrial heritage and the factories and the docks in Bermondsey. And then we have all these beautiful kind of Georgian terraces. And, you know, there's so much going on that we want to celebrate and we want to preserve, because it is what makes Southwark Southwark after all. The premise of essentially supplementing the national list with a local list has been, as I said, kind of long established, but it has taken a while to kind of bring this into being. Our team here had already done quite a lot of behind the scenes work, looking at buildings which they consider to have heritage value and pulling together a list. And indeed, we published a heritage supplementary planning document. I'm trying to think now, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, maybe now, which also set out the process that we were going to follow in order to earmark buildings and other structures for local listing. So that set out the criteria that we were going to follow. And then last year, over the summer, we launched a consultation process using the Commonplace website. So it was kind of an interactive digital website where people could support nominations that other people had been put forward, make contributions, add their own suggestions for local listings. And obviously we worked with a lot of the local heritage groups around that process, and had 2,600 contributions across the board. So really extensive engagement from residents across the borough. And I think what we've ended up with is a really good spread as well of buildings, both geographically. So there's not a particular concentration in one part of the borough, and a whole variety of things. So ranging from perhaps what you might expect. So a lot of pubs that we celebrate and that we value. We have things in there like in my ward, the South London Mission, for example, which has, again, huge kind of not just historical value from an architectural point of view, but also from a kind of the social value that it has brought to the borough. We have things like the wooden bus shelter in Dulwich, and then even the Brandon Estate. And I say even because people might raise some eyebrows about listing one of our estates, but you know, for some time it's been considered to be a real kind of exemplar of its time, and again with kind of architecture and design to be celebrated. And so we've brought together, I think, a really diverse list of buildings and structures that the public care about and want to see enjoyed by future generations.
Thank you. I think it's really interesting. One of the things I found myself doing was going through lots of the lists that were the buildings that were put onto the local list. And you mentioned the bus shelter at the bottom of Gypsy Hill by East Dulwich. Yeah. That's actually relatively near where I live. So when I saw that, I thought that's really interesting. And it's not something that you'd particularly think about. I mean, obviously, when you think about listing in this line of work and in this area of politics, you think about, like you say, churches, schools, perhaps, sites around major train stations, you know, but you don't necessarily think of the things that many people in their local community will consider quite valuable to them. And that bus shelter was, I think, quite an interesting example where you mentioned, you know, the local pub, the bus shelter. These are things that perhaps many people do identify with their local communities to a large degree, to perhaps as the same degree as the church or as the school, etc., but perhaps don't get the same level of consideration when it comes to planning as they would like them to have.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And it was It was about celebrating kind of all sorts of structures and buildings, as you say, and really trying to understand what is it that people value at the end of their streets. It's not just, you know, what are the big kind of iconic landmarks like the Shard, for example, but what are the things that people see on an everyday basis that that they just really they love and they want to see conserved. So I think it's been a really good participatory process. People have really bought into it. And as I said, it's not just about the kind of additional protection and weight in the planning process, because obviously what we do through this now means that there needs to be consideration of alterations, etc., as opposed to demolition of these structures going forward. It doesn't mean that you can't make a case for replacement of them, but you know it needs to go through the same tests that you would apply in a conservation area, for example, or similar. So, but it's also about, I think, just the recognition. And I think the community really value that, because sometimes there might be a sense that the council is always thinking about the future and about development and about what is new, when actually we know that what people value is often things that have been there for many years and where they've made many memories.
No, that's really interesting. Thank you. Bringing on to some of the potential trade-offs then. I mean, we've spoken about heritage consideration through the local list. We've spoken about a desire for a sustainability-led approach. And, of course, affordability and the, you know, the provision of affordable housing and the percentage that's required is obviously an ongoing conversation in many London boroughs. But that brings me to the question of do you potentially see these considerations, heritage, sustainability, affordability, and the desire for new home housing provision, do you see them in any way coming into conflict, or there being a potential trade-off between any of them, or a competing set of objectives? And if so, how do you think that the borough has done in terms of navigating that thus far, and how would you like to see that moving forward?
It's obviously a big question, isn't it? And through the local plan process, obviously that's really tested pretty rigorously through the evidence base and the examination in public. So I'm quite confident that our planning policies are sound and are achievable. But yes, they are obviously stringent, and the context has changed in the last couple of years for all the reasons we know, you know, all the supply chain issues, build cost inflation, the cost of borrowing going up. So evidently it's a particularly challenging context at the moment. But I still think that the planning policies that we have in place, as I said, are robust and are right, particularly in relation to housing. And I go back to the point that I raised at the start. Housing inequality is like the biggest challenge for this council, and it's our biggest priority. And if we are not delivering on affordable housing, and particularly on housing, on social rent housing through the planning process, then we will have a lot of explaining to do to our residents. At the moment, as I said, we have a really strong record that we can stand on. And it's not an area that myself as the cabinet lead, nor indeed our planning committee, have shown any appetite to bend on. So I think that's a clear message that always comes out from this council, that affordable housing and social rent housing in particular is our top priority. There are then, as you said, there's all these other considerations. But if I think about, you know, we've got some very complex sites that we are currently looking at and are under discussions with particular developers around, and many of them have all of these things thrown in. You know, you have heritage considerations, you have local economy considerations, affordable housing requirements, obviously issues then around height and massing that get brought into the equation. I mean, this is what we do, isn't it, as planning authorities, is that we are trying to navigate all of these things. We set out our policies, we have the back and forth, we provide the pre-app advice, and we try to be as clear as possible about what our priorities are as a local authority. And in my experience at the moment, we are still getting schemes coming forward. I think on the housing side, and this will be common, I'm sure your listeners will recognise this, obviously the challenge there at the moment is particularly kind of small to medium sized sites coming forward, and also increasingly a much larger emphasis on student accommodation and co-living schemes, which are not without challenge, because I think particularly on the latter, on co-living, it's not something, it's a new product, it's not something which is tested. There are concerns obviously about the long-term kind of sustainability of these kinds of housing schemes, but those are things that we are obviously navigating and trying to work through at the moment.
Thank you very much, that's really interesting. I think as we, just before we round up, I think looking ahead, obviously planning has been at the centre of the Labour Party's policies at the moment, in relation to, you know, Keir Starmer speaking about, you know, breaking down the barriers to opportunity, and key part of that being housing, and how he'll bulldoze over those that, you know, block Britain's ambitions, and the new homes, the new generations, and new towns, and making Labour the party of home ownership. So I guess this brings us on to the kind of the final three areas that we'd like to quickly run through with you. So obviously we've got the mayoral election next year in May. So as a, you know, senior cabinet member in Southwark Council, what would be one ask for the next Mayor of London?
Can I have two? I mean, firstly, so and I come at this again from the direct delivery side as well. You know, the Labour Party has quite rightly said that it's committed to delivering on social rent homes, and indeed the Mayor of London has been delivering that focus regionally. And the party have said that they want to place much more emphasis on the delivery of social rent homes through its grant programme. But I think there's a particular need in London, and this is illustrated by the issue around falling school rolls at the moment, with families really kind of vacating the city centre because of the lack of affordable housing, particularly in the private rented sector. But we have issues of demands really that can't be met. So I think that I would like to see the mayor look at how the building of family-sized homes could be incentivised through the grant programme, and indeed through planning policy. And the other thing I would add, slightly separate point, I realise I've got all this way through the podcast and haven't mentioned it, is support for the Bakerloo line extension. Which is obviously critical, not just for Southwark, but also for Lewisham, and indeed, I think all of the connecting boroughs and indeed the whole of London that would benefit from Blue Line extension. So at the moment, again, I'm sure listeners will know this, but we've estimated that there is the capacity along the Old Kent Road to deliver 20,000 new homes, but we can only get to 9,500 without the BLE. So seeing the Mayor of London, and indeed the Mayor is very committed to the Bakerloo line extension at the moment, and the mood music is positive, but we would need both the Mayor and a future government nationally to really get behind the Bakerloo line extension, and to look at how we can pull together the funding package that is required for that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And then one ask for the next government of the UK, whichever party they may be.
Oh, well, there you go. I've said one of them already. Bakerloo line extension. But also, and again, I'm afraid I'm a bit of a broken record on this, but support for building social rent housing at scale, really. There needs to be significant investment from central government, and we need to see the grants kind of hugely increased, really, in order to not just get us through this difficult period, but to see the increase that is required, which obviously lots of people have put at around kind of 90,000, 100,000 units per year. You know, to get anywhere close to that, there's a big gap there at the moment. And the councils, with all of their stretched finances, just can't meet without that additional help.
No, thank you very much. And then finally, couple of years away from the local elections now, we've got the mayoral election next year, the general election at some point next year, and then of course in 2026 local council elections in London. When you're knocking on doors in those local elections, I was wondering, what does success look like to you? How would you know you're knocking on the doors of residents in your ward and across the borough, what would you be able to be satisfied with in relation to, you know, I can say this is how much we've achieved, this is where we are, and then this is what we want to do next? What does success look like for you in 2026?
Yeah, well, indeed, we've got, you know, a number of things that we said we would deliver during this council term in Southwark, and we're really relentlessly focused on delivering those. So that ranges from our commitment around starting 1,000 new council homes in this council plan period. So we're looking at how we can do that creatively, despite the viability challenges, and bring solutions forward. We're also looking at what more we can deliver through the development process, through Section 106, through Community Infrastructure Levy. For example, again, a number of things that I would hope to kind of would have come to life by then includes the new LGBTQ plus cultural centre, which we've been working with Native Land on up at Blackfriars, getting an operator there up and running. So some really exciting things like that. Also, we have a pledge around developing a Latin American cultural centre at Elephant and Castle. And I think, you know, there will be tangible progress made in the next few years. And it's things that you can point to and I think be really proud of. And actually, the other place I haven't mentioned yet on the podcast is Canada Water, where we're taking forward the master plan with British Land. And over the next few years, we're going to see the new leisure centre opening up. We've got new council homes there coming forward. We'll have the new dockside there, which will be beautiful, and which I think will make such a difference in that neighbourhood. So, you know, what I love about this role is that there are, you know, tangible things that you can point to and demonstrate to residents and say, as a result of the planning, the development, the regeneration process, this new library has opened in your community. This new leisure centre is opening up. And indeed, just this last week, we opened up the new Una Marzen Library on the Aylesbury Estate. Again, really clear evidence, I hope, to local residents that we're committed to making the regeneration work for them and to deliver the community infrastructure that's required to enable that community to really thrive.
Thank you so much. I think that looking forward, Southwark is such an interesting borough, you know, right the way from the Shard all the way down to the wooden shed right by the bottom of Gypsy Hill. It's such a fascinating borough, and it's been an absolute honour to have you on. So thank you so much, Helen, for coming on. We really appreciate it, and hopefully welcome you again in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Well, that's it from us. Thanks for listening to another episode of Better Places. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share this podcast. And that's our last one of the year, so a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Bye, 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 bye.